Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite new podcast, Flick Fix. I'm your host, Leo Cox, and on this podcast, I bring you essential movie summaries, packed with all the key plot points, character insights, cinematic details, and big moments. This is where you get the full story in a quick, easy format, so you can stay in the loop with all the movie talk between your friends and family.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime, Flick.
So let's dive into today's movie, Blink Twice, the thriller mystery directed by Zoe Kravitz. When tech billionaire Slater King meets cocktail waitress Frida at the fundraising gala, he invites her to join him and his friends on a dream vacation on his private island. As strange things start to happen, Frida questions her reality. There's the summary to Blink Twice. Let's hop right in and see how well they did. We open with a very interesting shot where we see our main actress, Frida, our main character, Frida, sitting on the toilet scrolling through TikTok. I already love this start because that's what everyone does all the time, scrolling, and it's just a great way to immediately characterize the audience into our lead role. She's scrolling through all these funny videos, and then she stops upon this one video where we get our other main actor and character named Slater King. Slater King is in this video seemingly apologizing to the audience, saying, "I'm sorry for what I've done." Clearly he's done something bad, and he's taking a step back from his company, King Tech. She's researching him and clearly has a fascination with him. He's a very attractive man. As we know, Channing Tatum is the way of the gods. As she is scrolling through, she starts researching more and more, and we see a video of Slater King, apologizing over and over again. And essentially, we don't really know what he did, but clearly there's some formal apology he has over social media constantly. So as that happens, we realize that our lead actress has a roommate, her best friend, and possible sister, adopted sister of some type. They end up going to a cutscene of her and her friend or sister, Jess, working as waitresses, getting ready for this big gala. They're getting ready for a big King Tech gala. They're talking about how they're going to go ahead and sneak in with these dresses. They're going to essentially leave their jobs and go act like they're a part of the gala, as they're, you know, wanting to do that, as, you know, young women wanting to, you know, look impressive in, amongst these galas. So they're walking around, clearly uncomfortable in their high heels, and our main actress, Frida, in the gala, she stumbles and breaks her heel and makes this huge scene, making like glass break, and everyone stops and stares at her. And who's there to help her up but the other, you know, Channing Tatum character? We have Slater King helps her up, and clearly they're very infatuated with each other. They're oogling at each other, and she's like amazed that she got the chance to at least even talk to him and even hold his hand. So Slater King essentially, you know, helps her with her broken heel and breaks the other one, and so they kind of connect that way. He kind of leaves, and she kind of does nothing around the gala and just talks to her best friend about how impressed she was. Slater then comes up to her and introduces her to his therapist. It's sounding like there's clearly some work that he's getting done. And Slater then later introduces Frida to all of his other friends, a big group of people that seem to know each other very well. And they all end up having a great time at this gala. They're all drinking, smoking, and just laughing constantly. And Frida and Slater are touching each other, and there's clearly a relationship. And Jess, also her friend, is a big part of this. You know, they're both together partying with this, you know, group of high-end, like, incredibly wealthy, famous people. So as the night grows down, everyone leaves, and then Slater's assistant essentially says, "So sorry to end the party, but we're going to have to ask you to, you know, it's time for us to go. We got to go." And Slater says, "Okay, fine." So he leaves Frida and Jess, and then he comes back and says, "All right, I know this is crazy, but do you want to join us?" And so Frida and Jess look at each other and they go, "Yes." So then we pan to a really funny shot of all these rich people that they hung out with all night on this private jet going to a private island that Slater King owns. What we know about this island is that this is the place where Slater King is trying to, like, you know, purify himself and help him, you know, whatever. So we see them fly to the island. They accept, and the whole crew, the whole fun crew, ends up getting out, and they immediately, you know, notice how unbelievably amazing this island is. They're looking around, and it's just absolutely beautiful, and the clothes are prepped for everyone already, and there's, like, housekeepers, native, clearly, to the island, that are a little creepy, but native to the island, helping take care of everything. So Slater says, get yourself settled. All the clothes that you'll ever need are sitting right there, and it's all white. It's all in white. Really, really cool cinematic shots. The DP did, or the director did, I'm not quite sure, but we've got really cool shots of Frida getting ready for her first moment out on the island to go meet all the people at the pool. She sees that there's, like, nice perfume left on the, you know, the side of the table, and you know, she sprays herself, and it's really nice cologne. It just feels nice. She's kind of exploring the room a little bit, and she notices, like, lipstick that's used, and she's, like, grossed out, but also, like, haha, screw it, I won, I got Slater King. You know, she's clearly, you know, he's attracted to her. So she's walking around getting ready to go, and then she, you know, puts on her stuff. They all meet at the pool. They're all smoking, drinking, having a great time. Slater King is like a vape addict, and he has this vape juice, essentially. And he puts it in his vape all the time, and he's always smoking it constantly. Could be a part of his rehab, could not be, doesn't matter. So now we're going to get into more of each one of these characters that are at this party. So there's really, there's this one female who's essentially a survivalist, like a top tier survivalist, very attractive woman. And she, you know, she was also invited to the island, and she's seemingly into Slater King as well. So it's Frida kind of versus this very beautiful survivor woman. But she seemingly has a boyfriend there. He keeps calling her babe, and she tells her, "Why don't call me babe? It's weird." So it's kind of a weird thing. Frida likes to call attraction to Slater, so she's kind of winning the Slater war, let's say, over this other woman. Jess is enjoying her time, smoking, drinking all the time, and we get just a massive montage, essentially, of this group of people having a fantastic time. They're drinking, they're smoking, they're just essentially high and enjoying life at the same time. They're drugged high and high on life. It's pretty cool. It's like a really cool montage. And we don't really have any eerie feelings yet. It's just, like, amazingly lucky that these girls, Jess and Frida, got to join on the island. They start asking questions about who are they, how'd they get there, and clearly they're unqualified to be there because everyone else is very rich, but you know what? Doesn't matter, because Slater King, the owner of the island, really likes them, so they're going to keep them around. They go to dinner, and Frida spills on her shirt. It's, again, they're all in white, so it's very obvious she spills, and she's kind of clumsy, and, you know, whatever, no big deal. So she has, like, a big spill stain. Later that night, she goes to bed. Like, they took some drugs. They took some dropped drugs, and they all got really party high, and they were having a great time. She goes to bed, and she notices the stain's gone. Whatever, no real big deal. Stain's gone. So that's the first eerie kind of thing. Nothing crazy, but weird. Like, it's just gone. I don't know how that happened. So we just have, again, another montage of them in the sauna. And they're all together all the time, having a great time. They're just enjoying life, man. It's like, it's a rich person's mansion. And they're just partying over and over again. We noticed that a few of the, so there's four men and four women. Not necessarily coupled up, but they're, you know, clearly just enjoying each other. We don't really see any, you know, sex scenes or anything in any of these montages. It's just everyone's just really genuinely smoking, getting drunk at a poolside all day, every day, and having a fantastic time flirting with each other. And then every night they get super, like, drugged up with these special drops, and they just trip out, and then they just do it all over again. They just have a fantastic time. So then we'll kind of fast forward a little bit through all this crazy fun montages. And we also notice how, you know, Frida, she does her nails with Anne. She does and nail mails, she calls them, and nail mails. She just does her nails with all these animals. And that was kind of fun little thing there. And Slater loves it, and he notices it. She also has a scar on her left temple. And Slater asks her, you know, as they're getting very intimate with each other, not, again, having sex or kissing, but just clearly heavy flirting. He asks her, how'd you get that scar? And she just looks at him, and just like doesn't really want to tell him, and then just says, "I don't know. I don't know." And so then we don't hear anything, you know, we don't hear anything about it, and we move on. So let's keep moving on. Again, Frida is, you know, very heavily with Slater. All the girls are enjoying each other, having a great time. Slater has, you know, his therapist coming in, and obviously I should have mentioned they drop their phones off in bags before they get to the island, so no one has any phones really. It's very there's no technology. Essentially, it's just like a, you know, it's a rehab island really, but instead of rehab of like drugs or alcohol, it's pretty much just drugs or alcohol and nothing else. But no complaints. Everyone's having a great time, and she sees his therapist on the island again, and she goes and they recognize each other. It's a weird moment between the therapist and Frida for some reason. Not sure why. But we notice there's some kind of strange stuff going on. So then we fast forward to another night where Jess's biggest thing is she has this lighter. It's a yellow lighter where everyone wants to borrow her lighter. Everyone's like, "Where's the lighter? Where's the lighter?" For some weird reason, Zoe, the director, she made this really cool decision to essentially have Jess's thing as a lighter. So everyone borrowed it so much, she's like, "God, I need to write my name down on this thing because everyone's borrowing it and I'm going to lose it and I don't want to lose it." So she writes her name down on the lighter and she's messing around. They're all having a great time. And then they're partying up. And then one moment, Jess gets bitten by a snake. And we've noticed early in the film that the housekeepers around, they go and kill these snakes. Like, they're bagging these snakes up all over the place. Like, for some reason, we don't really know why, but we just notice that they're killing snakes. So we fast forward again to Jess partying around. It's nighttime, and then she gets bit by a snake. And again, they're tripping. They're all high. But she gets bit by a snake, so Frida comes over and consoles her like a good friend. You know, she doesn't leave her behind or anything. It's actually quite cool. So she sits down, consoles her, and then Jess kind of talks to Frida like, "Don't you feel it? Don't you feel what's wrong with this island? Something's wrong. Do you understand me?" And then Frida looked at her and was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But almost made her feel like, you know, shit, because she said, "Just let me be noticed for once." Frida says to Jess, she says, "Just let me be noticed, please. I've never been noticed in my life. I finally am getting noticed, and please just don't ruin this for me." She wants to leave. And for the record, Slater King has mentioned many a times, he always asks if they're okay and if they're enjoying their time, and they're welcome to leave whenever they want. But obviously they're having a fantastic time, so they don't need to leave. But now we're seeing the first time that Jess wants to go home. She says, "I want to go home. Something's not right. Something's super wrong." So then we fast forward to the next day. We see that Frida is really hungover this day. Oh, I'm so sorry. I almost fast-forwarded. So Frida runs into one of the housekeepers who kills the snakes, and she doesn't speak any English. She just keeps calling Frida the Red Rabbit, and it's very, like, tough English, very hard to understand. She just says, "Red Rabbit, Red Rabbit." And she points to Frida, and Frida's very confused why she keeps getting called Red Rabbit, but she essentially, like, walked in on her, like, drinking this liquid, almost like an alcohol, like, "Oh," Frida says to her, "Oh, I won't tell, don't worry, I won't tell." And, you know, the housekeeper, she's like, "Red Rabbit, shh, don't say anything, do you want some?" So the housekeeper hands her the liquid, and Frida, again, drunk and high all the time, they're all just, like, essentially in a daze, says, "Fuck it, I'll drink it." So she drinks some of the weird liquid and starts coughing, and like it's like gross. And then the housekeeper turns and points to what's in it, and it's the venom from the dead snake. It's the same type of snake that Jess was bitten by. So Frida's freaking out, and she's like, "What the hell did you do? Am I gonna die? What's going on?" Slater mentioned that you won't die from this snake bite, but there is venom. So that's the stuff that she drank. Okay, so she falls asleep, gets ready for the next day. Now I'm where I am. Okay, so she falls asleep, she gets ready, and she's very hungover, she's throwing up, you know, it's not great. She notices dirt underneath her nails and her feet, and it's just like, why is there dirt everywhere all the time? I feel like I don't remember being dirty. But everyone's hungover, so the girls have a ladies' day while the guys go fishing. So the girls They start doing their spa day. They got their, skincare routines going on. And then we notice that Frida feels a little off today, clearly not in like the same happy vibes that she was in before. And she notices and notes, it's very weird that she doesn't notice it earlier, but Jess isn't there with them. Jess is not there. Like, she doesn't check on Jess after the snake bite. No one knows what's going on. And she just turns to the girls next to her and she says, "Where's Jess?" And the girls, all three of them, turn to her and say at like the same time, like, "Who's Jess?" So then we're like, what? So now we have a moment where we just had a moment last night where Jess is freaking out about the island. She doesn't love and she wants to leave. Now we see that Frida is panicking because we don't know where Jess is. So we don't know if she's like, you know, she left, she died, if she never existed. I'm like, she looked into her room and it was a storage closet. And Frida now thinks she's just freaking out because everyone's telling her that Jess doesn't exist. Doesn't happen. She's not real and you're making it up. You're nuts. So she goes into a room and like starts hitting herself, like, what's going on? Fix yourself. What's going on? So then the survivalist woman comes in that I was telling you about, and she walks into her room and she says to Frida, she goes like, what's happening with you? Something's wrong. Clearly you look off. Something's weird. And during this whole time, very horror-esque, very like uncomfortable butterflies in the stomach feeling. The composer did a really minimalist but good job of doing very minimally horror-ish-esque music, but it's not like the classic dissonance. It's just very well done. Audience is very on edge and very uncomfortable, especially now that we know that Jess is gone. So Frida and this survivalist chick start talking while Frida's freaking out, and they start talking, and then Frida looks at, and they start talking about how they know Slater King, like, you know, and they both realize that they're random people. They didn't know Slater King. The survivalist woman, she didn't know anybody either. They just thought that everybody knew everybody for a long time and they were the outsider. But all of these women apparently are outsiders. So we're quickly learning that they essentially just jumped on an island with random people and just got like really drunk and high for like the past, like, whoever knows. We don't know how long they've been there. They keep asking what day it is and no one answers because, again, how could you? So Frida is like, so what do you know Jess? And she says, no, I don't know Jess. I don't understand. But then she said, the reason why I came is, she pulls out of her pocket the lighter that says Jess on it. So now there's evidence that, yes, Jess was on the island. She wasn't fake. And we now know that Jess is real. So now our survivalist lady and Frida both are on the same page. And they say, what the fuck's going on? I have this bruise on my arm. I don't know how it happened. What happened to Jess and why do we not remember what happened to her? Like, really weird stuff. And so Frida goes back with our survivalist chick and they like go explore and notice that the perfume is laced with something. So it's some kind of memory lace that Slater King has somehow been able to manipulate and figure out how, if you spray the perfume, if you spray the perfume on you, you'll forget. And the only reason why Frida is aware of what's going on is because she drank the venom, which helps you. It's the antidote to the memory loss. So Jess got bit by that spider that night. So that's how she knew that things were wrong, because the venom in the spider exposed her to remember stuff. So Frida drank that weird alcohol thing that exposed her, right, to understand that she had been getting essentially roofied and she can't remember what's been going on. So now she's convincing our survivalist lady that you need to drink the venom to help you understand what's been going on. So she drinks the venom and she convinces everybody, every girl, to drink the venom, because now they're noticing that it's essentially guys versus girls for some reason. Clearly the guys somehow have been drugging the women. Clearly the guys somehow have been drugging the women. So the other girls are way less intelligent, let's say. So they hide the snake venom in tequila and they just drink it dry. The girls just get absolutely plastered on this venom. And so Frida decides to go explore on her own while our survivalist lady helps essentially cure the other women. Now, no, it doesn't happen immediately. It happens over a span of like a day or two or whatever. We're not quite sure. So they all now have the venom inside their bloodstream, and Frida's exploring. So Frida goes and explores. She finds this lock cabinet, and she opens it and sees all of these pictures come out. She sees all these pictures. She sees all of these like photos of the women in both day and night. And we see that the women were getting raped and tortured during the nighttime. We see that they were getting like the men were tying them down, and they weren't unconscious or anything. They were very, very much in pain and aware of what was going on. And apparently the more you torture them, the more they'll forget. So they would torture the women at night, and then they would forget because of the perfume that they had. Now, you know, they're slowly starting to realize what's going on. Not the other two women, but, you know, Frida and our survivalist. So now we are seeing real intensity. Now we know what's happening. So Frida discovers all of this crazy stuff, and she starts to see it in her mind. She starts seeing the visions in her mind of like the raping. She's starting to remember what's happened. So the men get back from the fishing trip, and things start getting intense because she doesn't want the men to know that she remembers, because what she remembered was Jess getting killed. Her neck snapped because she remembered. Slater King snapped her neck, Jess's neck, her friend, because she remembered from the venom. So no one, the guys don't know that the girls have drinking the venom. So there's this very eerie scene where Frida's hiding behind the desk, and Slater King, still being very normal, you know, is just kind of wandering around, but somehow Frida gets away. And she reveals to the survivalist lady that she's teamed up with now that they've been getting like raped and, you know, Jess got killed. And the survivalist lady, seemingly almost already knew it because the venom had gone through her system quick enough where she's starting to remember what had happened to her. So each one of them were essentially paired up with a guy who would rape or, you know, hurt them in a very significant way on this island. So then we're in like the peak moments where it's essentially a survival moment where they have to lie and act like they're still super high and super drunk and they don't remember anything. Or else if they remember them, what are they going to do? They're on an island alone without any phones. They tried to get to the phones, but they couldn't call anything because there was no reception. So phones were not an option. So we get to the night again. We get to the night, the first night that the two girls actually remember what was going to happen. Okay. So they're very aware of the fact that once they get to the night, the men are expecting to rape them because they keep forgetting. And again, they can't really do anything about it. I mean, yes, they could try to stand up, but they're high and drunk. So they're faking high and drunk. So they get to dinner, and it's very kind of tense because clearly their physical, like their facial features, their bloody noses, like they're obviously fatigued. And Slater King is asking, are you still enjoying your time here? Almost like he's testing them to see if they're still drugged, essentially. So they've kind of been able to hide the fact that they're immune now from the memory loss. And Slater King is just kind of iffy about it. So anyways, to distract them from ending the dinner to start their, you know, rape session almost, the girls start dancing seductively to try to distract the men. Almost like they're getting them ready, essentially, for the, you know, the night where they end up, you know, hurting them very, very badly. And as that happens, as they're seductively dancing, the two lead girls, they start grabbing like kind of knives and kitchenware around and starting to like hide it in pots. So they're getting ready for a fight, essentially. And remember, the other two girls that they essentially gave the immunity, the venom to, They start dancing as well, but they start bleeding out of their nose, which is a sign that they clearly remember that what had happened to them. So now it's at this point where we're at the dinner. We're just ended the dinner. The girls are dancing, and the guys are probably thinking it's our time to probably, you know, get ready to do our thing, which is horrible, horrible. And the girls are thinking, what are we going to do to defend ourselves? So all of a sudden, one of the girls, not our lead two, essentially just stabs one of the guys in the neck immediately, like out of genuine anger, just stabs him and kills him right then and there. And then we realize that it's just going to be a battle against the guys and the girls, essentially. So we have one guy get beaten up in the face brutally by one of the girls by a chessboard. He's kind of alive, and Slater King recedes into his, like, castle, essentially, where Frida and the other lead actress, survivalist lady, they kind of run and try to go help the other women. But one of the women got shot by Slater King in the head. It's a big battle scene at this point, and I'm going to kind of fast forward through it because it's going to be hard to describe, and it's not that important at the end of the day because we get to the end scene where we're essentially down to Slater King alone and Frida tied up because she was caught, and we have the survivalist chick also tied up. Slater King was able to, you know, essentially use his gun and his willpower to get them down after their rebellion against the males. Note that the women were able to kill all the other men except for Slater King. All the other men were dead. There's only two girls left versus Slater King, our main two actresses versus Slater King. So we realize that Frida is kind of hit in the head, and she remembers even more. And what had happened was she sees a picture of herself on the island a year ago wearing red rabbit nails. So the reason why the housemaid kept calling her Red Rabbit is because she had already been to the island. She had already been to the island, and she had already been memory drugged and lost and whatever. And the reason why she didn't remember is because Slater slammed her head against a rock on her left temple, which is how she got the scar. She didn't even remember how she got the scar because she was drugged and memory lost, and she was banged again the head and released back into the real world where she essentially didn't remember that moment. So she realizes that she'd been there before, and Slater King had always had, you know, now we realize that at the gala, Slater King wasn't just being a nice guy. He was essentially being like, oh my God, do you remember me? And she didn't remember him. So he really enjoyed her. You know, horrible as it is, as you know, he enjoyed her drugged on the island, so he took her back again to the island. So we realized that Frida had already gotten out and escaped before. So now we see that Slater King is essentially we see that he's actually very mentally unstable, which makes sense. He's very mentally unstable, and he just wants to forget what he had done, clearly we don't know, with the CEO position. And he could only say, I'm sorry to the media so many times. So he had just, that's why he came up with this drug, because he wanted to genuinely forget what had happened with him. So I think he was just essentially testing it on the island as a whole thing. Anyways, we get to this scene where Slater is going to kill the survivalist lady, cut her throat. And he takes a hit of his vape right before he does it, and right before he slices her throat in front of Frida, he stops and he just looks blank, and then he starts asking questions like, what happened to your face? What's going on? Where am I? So what we realized is Frida, during Slater King's, you know, craziness, switched his vape juice with the perfume, the drugged perfume, and drugged him for memory loss. And then, as Slater's going crazy, he burns the house down by accident because he's, like, losing his mind. Frida saves the survivalist girl and pulls out Slater King and doesn't kill him. and saves him. And it feels very weird why she would do that. But then we realize later that we pan to, she made it back to the real world. And we're back to the gala. And we hear an announcement. And thank you to all of her generosity to Mrs. King. Mrs. King. So she married Slater and kept drugging him with his own perfume. And ran his company and became extremely rich and wealthy and essentially just had a mind-dumb, extremely rich CEO as the little pet. And that's how we see the movie end. It was a very empowering movie, very well done. You know, there's some small things here and there that I didn't necessarily think was the best decisions to be made. I think there was some writing that could have been a little better. You know, some of the stuff just seemed to happen to fall into place. The first half of the movie was very horror-esque and very gut-wrenching, very intense. And then the back half of the movie was a comedy, which was interesting. They made it very comedic during all the murdering scenes, all of the raping scenes, all of the battling. It was comic almost. It was very comedic. There was no intensity to it really whatsoever. So why they made that switch in genre halfway through the film, I'm not sure. In my opinion, if they decided not to go with the comedy aspect or at least just dial it down way more, this would have been a crazy reveal. I was not expecting this at all. And I think that would have been the help answer the mystery thriller part of it all. I think that would have been very cool. Because of that, I'm going to probably, you know, rank it down just a tiny bit. I think the score was very well done. Cinematography was unbelievable. The set dressing was amazing. A huge shout out to the sound designer of this film. Did a fantastic job. And what was really unique about it is the sound design was right up front in your ears. Really loud. Not like a casual pickup of the cup and you can hear it placed on the desk, but a prominent, almost important part of the movie. Was that very cool? Very cool sound design. I thought that was fantastic as well. The acting was amazing. Very great cast. Amazing stars. Because of the genre change, because of the just happened to, you know, like very quick moments to changing of story, I'm going to go ahead and give this an 80% in my personal opinion. I think, if they decided to change the comedy and dial it way down, I think it could have gotten higher and really steered more into the thriller side of things instead of just the front half, but the full movie, that could have been something truly, truly special. But Zoe did a fantastic job as the director. It was a very well-done movie. And it was a very well-done movie, very successful. I believe it was a $20 million budget, and it's sure to be as successful, and it will not be a flop. I'm sure it'll make its movie, its money back quickly. And it was very, very well done. I want to thank you for listening to Flick Fix. And again, my name is Leo Cox. I'm your host of this beautiful podcast. And hopefully we keep getting some more comments coming in, and I'll keep making some great podcasts for you. And hopefully the movies keep coming in. Feel free to recommend anything to me and send me a message or email. And hopefully I'll get back to you and get that movie in for you. So thanks so much, and everyone have a great day.
He summarizes movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime.